Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the wonderful care that you show us, not only through the work of your Son, but also in your fatherly goodness toward us, providing us with all that we need for this life, but especially for the life that is to come. Keep us always listening to the voice of our Good Shepherd through his word, that we may follow him ultimately to the green pastures of our eternal home. We pray it all in his saving name. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, my children would often make fun of me. Probably once a month or so, we would recite the 23rd Psalm at our dinner table. And they soon discovered that because I had learned it as a little child in the old King James Version with the these and thous, and then later in the new King James Version, and then later in the NIV version, and once in a while I would slip in a little ESV version, my reciting of the psalm became kind of a mishmash of all of those versions. And my children would often say to me after we were done saying the psalm together, "Dad, we don't know what version you're in." It's probably, next to the Lord's Prayer, the most memorized part of Scripture. John 3:16, I'm sure, would be another one. More than likely, most of you in here have learned this beautiful psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And it's a favorite for Christians throughout the generations. It was also a favorite of people in the Old Testament times before the arrival of Christ. When our Lord Jesus came and suddenly said, "I am the good shepherd," that resonated quickly with all of those who were waiting for the Messiah. "The Lord is my shepherd." The imagery of a shepherd and sheep is one that we don't see around us a lot, but in Jesus' day and in biblical times, and even in the region of Israel today, you'll still see a lot of flocks of sheep and shepherds going about their work. It's a very simple picture, and yet it is so deeply profound. Isn't that the way Jesus often is with his parables or metaphors and things? So often they're very simple that a little child can understand them, and yet you can plumb the depths of them for doctrine and understanding. There's so much richness to them as well. Now, when the Holy Spirit equates us to being sheep, that's not always a positive thing. Sheep certainly have some positive virtues about them, and yet they're also known to be prone to just wander off and sometimes not really pay attention to what's going on for them. And so, unlike many other types of livestock, sheep need care. They need someone to watch over them and to help them find the best places to graze, and especially to steer them out of trouble, and sometimes even individually have to get them away from trouble. And this is why there's a hook at the top of the shepherd's staff that says something about me and about you. That says something about us, that we need at times to have God, through his word, kind of grab us by the neck and to pull us away from the things that might be dangerous for us. Or there might be a predator that is around us. And our Lord here is using this picture for us to understand how he works so carefully with us and providing us with all that we need. So the spiritual shepherd that we truly need is one who had to come from heaven and has been provided by heaven. God didn't choose just any old person or even an angel specifically to do this, though they certainly care for us and watch over us. The Son of God himself, had to come into our world in order to be this special caretaker for us and for our souls. And in order to rescue us from the danger we would be in our future, to protect us from all harm and everything, there had to be one who was mightier than any predator we would ever face, who would be stronger than any deep cliff that we could possibly fall into. And so there's really only one who could be, who could fit this role of being our good shepherd. And so the believer can now say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." There's nothing that this shepherd can't do for me or take care of for me. He covers every possible base for my present life and the life that is to come. In the Old Testament, when David was about to go up and slay Goliath, when he was standing before Saul and about to get his armor on and so on, he started talking about, because Saul was questioning whether this little teenage boy could do this, and he started describing to him how he, while he was tending his father's sheep, had at times had to kill a lion. And when I was a little boy in our Sunday school room, one of the posters that hung on the wall was that of an image of that, David tearing apart the jaws of a lion. And at the time, he looked like about a 12-year-old kid. And that image really was imprinted in my mind. Why are the sheep of Christ so willing to have such an allegiance to him and so willing to follow his voice? Well, it's because he has placed himself in between them and any enemy that's out there, any predator of them. The greatest enemy that you and I have is the devil himself. And Christ placed himself between us and him. And between the eternal harm that the devil wanted us to fall into, Christ himself has gone and taken that full burden on himself when he went to the cross, being completely forsaken and abandoned by his heavenly Father. What I deserve, what you deserve for our sins. But he didn't want you to have to feel that. He didn't want you to feel the jaws of that lion. And so he placed himself in harm's way and cried out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? So the Good Shepherd has nothing but our best interest in mind. And that's why he refers to himself not just as your shepherd, but your good shepherd. And his ultimate goal is to take you from this life to the beautiful green pastures of heaven, where you and I can graze with his flock forever. And in the heart of a Christian, then, there is this little voice, this heart of faith that God works in us that causes us to say, if he's been willing to do all of this for me, then I certainly can trust him when he guides me through the things of this life. I certainly can have confidence in the directives that he gives me about my life in this world, because I know what he's spared me from, and I know what he's taking me to. And so that's what it awakens in the heart of the believer, this desire to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm going to follow that voice. There are various times when you hear stories about how the 23rd Psalm has been used. One of my favorite came out soon after 9/11. And some of the people that made it down the staircase before those buildings came down remember seeing firemen going up as they were coming down, many who lost their lives, of course. But they also recall that even though they were in the darkness of those staircases, they could hear people, some of them reciting the 23rd Psalm. Here they were in the midst of possibly losing their life. And man reaches out to God at the most important stage when he sees the mortality that is in front of him. The shepherd's voice is the bond that he has with his sheep. And that's how they recognize and identify him, is through his word, through his sacraments. This is how he comes to us and how we recognize him. In some towns, there are doctors in a small community where maybe they have literally delivered a child at birth and are now their doctor all the way into adulthood. And the town I was born in, that was the case many years ago. Nowadays, we have pediatricians and so on. But some of those doctors, and it might be true for you as well, doctors can get to know your body so well and the things about you so well that essentially they know you better than you know yourself. And they know what is going to be best for you and the best treatment for you. And yet even they are imperfect and they only deal with what they can see and know. Think what it's like that you and I have the Son of God himself, who knows exactly how you and I were knit together in our mother's womb, who knows exactly all the things that were chosen and laid out for our lives, the one who knows your weakest moments, the one who knows the temptations that bother you the most, the one who understands your deepest yearnings and longings in life, To think that the one that knows you better than you'll ever know yourself, the Son of God himself, is the one that our Heavenly Father has put in charge of your life and of taking care of you. It's really a beautiful and wonderful thing. And you can see this in the public ministry of our Lord Jesus. When the widow is standing outside of the alms box with her few little coins, and Jesus speaks to his disciples, he knows her entire financial situation. The crippled man who comes to the pool at Bethesda, we're told details about his life and about his health. God cares for his sheep, and he has a genuine love and care for them, and he has one large ultimate plan to take them to the green pastures of heaven. Right now, his flock of sheep is divided by a river. It's the river of death. And there are those on this side, we call them the church militant, and there are those on the other side that we call the church triumphant, all already enjoying those green pastures of heaven. And those of us who are on this side sometimes face some challenges. There's some tough paths and rocky places that we have to go through. And ultimately that river that we have to cross in order to get to the green pasture on the other side. But the shepherd's eye is always on his sheep. He always knows what we can take. He knows what is the best path for us to take. And he knows that his ultimate goal is to guide us across that river to the beautiful home in heaven. And so the believer can confidently say, even though we face difficulties in this life, I will fear no evil. I have no reason to be afraid of any evil because God is on my side. God is the one who has saved me and rescued me and created me and made me and has my entire future laid out for me. And I know that he has the plans to take me finally to that eternal home. Thanks be to God for his marvelous grace under the care of this good shepherd. Amen. Please rise for the versicle.
Thank you. words proceed. Give your servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended by you from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. And the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.